Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Chaf. Hey, we're in Chaf Dalam and Beis. We're starting towards the bottom of the Amud. About a third of the way from the bottom, we're starting with the words Amalei Rav Nachman. This week's daf is being sponsored by Dr. Robin Rita Galbin in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Baruch Tzvi, then Rav Rubei Nassan, the Shem Shav and Aliyah. The Gemara is going to be continuing its probe regarding Yichus, or specifically that of Yichus of Kohanim. At what point in time can the Kohen establish and gain all the privileges of having full yichus? And this is an odd discussion, meaning we started this yesterday, and it will be the entirety of today's daf. We are going to be focused on one singular topic today, and that is what exactly is going to establish yichus as it relates to a Kohen. Now, yichus legabe, what in terms of who we can marry? Meaning, let's say our Kohen now is duchening and shol. Let's say he's eating truma. So those would be pretty good indicators that he's a Kohen. Cannot think of better ways that would broadcast to the public at large that this man's a Kohen. And meanwhile, when it comes to Yichus, in terms of who we can marry, so he is not yet fully on board with being a Kohen. And as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll just simply quickly repeat today, part of this conversation is just a little bit strange. It's strange in the sense that once you're eating Truma, so a non-Kohen to eat Truma, that's a significant issue in the Torah. That's Misa B'dei Shamayim, as we established yesterday, as we've gone over numerous times before. So we're talking now about a really serious issue in which, okay, so he's eating Truma. Do we know now for sure that he's a Kohen? Nala Gaba Yuchas. And I mentioned yesterday, it's strange. He's allowed to eat Truma, which if he's not a Kohen, it's an issue of Misa B'dei Shamayim, and yet he's going to still be a little bit impaired in terms of who he can marry, and he doesn't have the full yichus. So again, it's an idea, it's a concept that we've seen already numerous times, and that is mala asa b'yuchsin. That when it comes to yichus, they took the standards and they raised it as basically to the highest point. So even though he's duchening, and even though he's eating truma, and as we had one more example that we saw yesterday, and even though he's signing on shtaros as a Kohen, and everybody's co-signing on that he's a Kohen, still, when all said and done, when it comes to yichus, there is going to be just simply a higher level of requirement in order to establish him to be a miyuchas. Okay, and what is that higher level of requirement? So this is what we've discussed at the beginning of yesterday's daf. You're going to need two edim. In other words, one aid is simply going to be insufficient. I know it's machlokus, but in other words, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like for the legabe yichus, you need two edim to come and testify that this man is in fact a Kohen. Okay, obviously, if he's a member of our community, we know him and we know his family. So then you have something called a chazaka. But in other words, somebody comes in new and we don't know who he is. And legabe yichus, in order to establish him to be a Kohen, so we need shtei edim. Okay, that's been our discussion yesterday's daf, and it will continue to be our discussion today's daf. And again, the question is going to be really simple. What can be used as a platform in order to establish that this Kohen, in fact, is a Kohen miyuchas, legabe marriage? So Amalei Rav Nachman Baitzach LeRav Amal Lalos Minsiz Kabayim Liyuchsin. So here we are now litigating what we did yesterday, and we're just going to continue litigating today, and that is Nesiz Kabayim. So again, so the Kohen's duchening, and everyone's perfectly acceptable with that. It's fine that he's duchening, and now, good. So now he's into Shiduchim. And now as he's getting married, so on the resume it says he's a Kohen. So how do you know he's a Kohen? Well, he's duchening. Is that going to, again, be enough in order to establish that he's a Kohen miyuchas? So Amalei puts it to Rav Chisra, Rabbi Avina. So he says it's a machlokas, meaning this is how we ended off yesterday's daf. It's a machlokas amarayim. So hilchas amai. So the Gemara says, great. Thank you very much for telling me it's a machlokas. But now I would like to know, what's the halacha? So can you give me some more information? So Amalei anamasisi yadana. He says, look, here's what I could do, and that is, I can give you a brisa, meaning I know a brisa, and what we're going to do now is that we're going to learn the brisa together, learn it carefully, and basically, after successfully learning the brisa, we'll have some sort of conclusion on this matter. Ditanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer. So here's the brisa, and the brisa is going to be really treating three psukim in Sefer Ezra. Okay, so we know the basic storyline behind Ezra and Nehemiah is that the Jews are going back to Eretz Yisrael after 70 years of living in Gala, so, and after given permission from Koresh. So what the Jews do is they go back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's not as exciting. I mean, it is exciting. Don't get me wrong. But it's not as exciting as you would think. In that, well, that's not true. In other words, we live here in Galus, so we kind of understand, and that is the vast majority of the Jews were happy in Galus and stayed in Galus, and only a fraction of the Jewish people ended up going up to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra, and even on top of that, meaning people who were Kohanim and Levim living in Bavel, so in those short 70 years they started intermarrying, the rest of the Jews also started intermarrying, meaning, okay, it was a little bit of a mess. And so Ezra now is going to be bringing the whatever Jews are coming want to come back with him, and now he's going to try to establish Yichus. Okay, so it's as you it was a little bit messy, and so here we are now, not only going over a couple of psukim, three psukim in total in the second parak of Sefer Ezra, but we're also going to be discussing some halachic principles as well. So Gedola Chazaka. So Rav Yossi says that Chazaka is a really big deal. In other words, we know Chazaka is a big deal. We know it's one of the basic determinants within halacha. Rov is a determinant. Chazaka is a determinant. So we know that, but we're just simply highlighting over here, like, how big a deal it is. Shenema, the pasuk of Bnei HaKohanim, Bnei Chavia, Bnei HaKotz, Bnei Barzilai, Shalakach Mimnos Barzilai, Geladi Isha, Vayikra Shmam. Okay, so various families who are Kohanim. And Ela Bikshu Kisavam HaMis Yachsim. So look, what I'd like from you is a Shtar Yichus. So apparently there was some sort of documentation in terms of their Yichus and who their family was and who their parents were, grandparents, etc., etc. Avalo Nimtzu'u Vigo Alumina Kahuna. They couldn't find it and they were rejected from Kahuna. Okay, in other words, they couldn't produce any kind of documentation in terms of who they were, and it must have been back in the day that this documentation was pretty common and they couldn't produce it. And so they were rejected. Now, as in a moment, we're going to see that it was not a full rejection, but in other words, you can't prove you're a Kohen. That's problematic. Now, Vayomer HaTirshata Lahem. So HaTirshata. Tirshata is a reference to Nehemiah. Rashi writes over here that in Sefer Ezra, later in Sefer Ezra, he's described, what we call Sefer Nehemiah. Anyway, he's described as HaTirshata. The Gemara elsewhere gives an explanation why he's given that specific name. Anyway, we don't have to go through it now. Anyway, so Amar Tirshata, so Vayomar Tirshata Lahem, Asher Lo Yochlu Mikodesh HaKadashim Ad Amod Kohen Le'urim V'tumim. So, Nehemiah says, okay, so they can't eat from Kodesh Kadashim until we go and inquire the Urim V'tumim. Now, Rashi over here, it's a great Rashi. It's, you know, almost a little bit comical, but Rashi writes over here, when he says, until we ask Urim V'tumim, you know what effectively he's saying? In other words, right, when Mashiach comes. In other words, there was no Urim V'tumim, Rashi reminds us, during Bai Sheni. And so when he says we're going to be asking the Urim V'tumim, he basically is saying to them, in other words, at least for the foreseeable future, well, we're not going to treat you like Kohanim. Okay, Mashiach comes, and then we'll get our heads wrapped around it. But until that point in time, we're simply not going to know. Okay, good. So the Amar Lehem, Ariya Tem B'cheskasem, Be'emei Hayisim Ochlem Begola B'kachvei Agvul, Afkan B'kachvei Agvul. Okay, now, on one hand, so we really have two competing forces. One is that they can't produce their Shtar Yichus. Two, we have a force called Chazaka, meaning that there's a certain presumption. In other words, up until this point in time, they have been behaving like Kohanim, so therefore, they can continue to become Kohanim. So, what do we do now with these two competing forces? So, basically, what we're going to do is status quo, meaning as it relates to their chazakah of being a Kohen, whatever they were doing in Bavel, that's where they're going to continue to do in Eretz Yisrael. But then to be upgraded in Eretz Yisrael, no way. Meaning we're not going to be upgraded in Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going to be able to do other Kohen privileges. Okay, so what were they doing in Bavel? Now, I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, and trying to wrap my head around it, but in Bavel they were eating truma. Now, that's a little bit strange. Meaning in Bavel they were eating truma, right? Where was the hafrash of truma in Bavel done? There's a mitzvah derabanan of truma in Bavel. Okay. It sounds like from the Gemara. The Gemara certainly makes it sound like that there was some structure of truma in Bavel. So if in Bavel they were eating truma, so now when they go into Eretz Yisrael, chazaka, status quo, you can continue eating truma. But now that you go to Eretz Yisrael, now in Eretz Yisrael for Bai Sheni, so you know what there's going to be. There's going to be karbanos, and there's going to be chazav eshok, and for that, you can't do. meaning the chazaka will only allow you to do what you've been doing up until now, but now that you go to Eretz Yisrael and you're unable to produce your shtar yichus, so therefore you can't eat the karbanos, you can't eat chazav v'shok, etc., etc. Okay. Good. Perfect. That's exactly what the Gemara now is going to try to deduce from the Braisa. Isa Gedacha, that's the very next point. The Isa Gedacha Malam and Isias Kapayim Liyochsim. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, the Gemara is assuming, because in the Pesukim over here, they were only talking about eating Truma and not eating Kachay Kadashim, not eating Chazav Vishok. There was no mention of Duchening. The Gemara right now is assuming that, yeah, of course they can Duchen. And it makes sense. Meaning, because again, what did Chazaka say? Whatever you've been doing up until now, you can continue doing. We're going to assume in Bavel they were Duchening. Meaning, that's a fair assumption. So if in Bavel they were Duchening, so they're going to continue Duchening in Eretz Yisrael. Now, let's think about this. So if Duchening now meant that from Duchening we can go straight to Yichus, so in Eretz Yisrael, so what exactly was Ezra and Nehemiah saying to them? Look, we can't upgrade you. What do you mean you can't upgrade? Once they're allowed to Duchen, so therefore, they're automatically going to be upgraded. Therefore, what do we have to say? That Duchening does not lead to Yichus. Duchening doesn't lead to Yichus. And again, like we said yesterday, and we're going to say again right now, even eating Truma doesn't lead to Yichus. Okay, fine. So, Hani came with the Parsi Adai, Asa L'Asakinu. So that's exactly the Gemara's point. Meaning that if what they do now is they're going to be Duchening, so Duchening leads to Yichus, obviously Duchening does not lead to Yichus. Okay, so this is the Gemara's attempted deduction from the Braisa that Duchening is not going to lead to Yichus. The Gemara says, nah, I'm not ready to accept that as a conclusion from the Braisa. Shani hachad yada, I'm sorry, dereya chazkaihu. So the Gemara says over here, no. Why no? Because let's consider the following. They're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, these Kohanim from Bavel. And now, yes, they're going to Duchen. And yes, they're going to eat Truma. But also keep in mind that Ezra Nehemiah just told them, but you're not going to eat karbanos. Oh. So there is always going to be a constant reminder that they are not miyuchasim. Under what basis? Because they're not allowed to eat karbanos. So here's what the Gemara is proposing. Maybe under normal circumstances, the eating of truma and the duchening would lead to a successful yichus. But over here, we don't have to worry about that because over here it's mitigated by the fact that they are not allowed to eat karbanos.
They won't do the
avodah
either.
Yeah, I assume you're right. I assume so. So the Gemara says, because look, as much as yesterday we were litigating whether or not duchening could lead to yichus, we also litigated yesterday's daf whether eating truma could lead to yichus. So Allah mishum derech haskayu. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? Clearly what you see over here is that even though they're eating truma, but still that won't immediately graduate them to having good yichus. And again, why? Because again, that constant reminder that they're not eating karbanos. So ve'elamai gedola chazaka. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what I'm hearing right now. They're coming to Eretz Yisrael, right? The Bnei Bavel now, who are making the big jump from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, going up with Ezra and Nehemiah, and because they were unable to manufacture to produce their shtar yichus, so therefore they're going to be hamstrung a little bit. In other words, they can duchen, they can eat truma, whatever they were doing in Bavel, they can continue to do in Eretz Yisrael. But what they can't do is they can't eat karbanos. Now, remember how the entire Braisa started. Right, Chazaka is such a big deal. Chazaka really elevates somebody. Gedola Chazaka. And now the Gemara is going to ask a really simple question. Meaning, when all said and done, it's not that exciting. Meaning, don't get me wrong, in other words, we could stay status quo. But the statement of Gedola Chazaka, that Chazaka is a really big deal, I don't know if it's a really big deal. Basically, what we got from here is that whatever they did in Bavel, they can continue doing Eretz Yisrael. But the expression of Gedola Chazaka, like it kind of falls a little bit flat. That's the Gemara's next question. Ve'ela mai gedola chazaka. We're on the very top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, top line. So ve'ela mai gedola chazaka mi kara achol b'tshuma d'rabbanan hashachol b'tshuma d'araisa. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. So here in this one little victory, chazaka is a big deal. In that in Bavel they were eating truma mid-rabbanan. Well, of course they were eating truma mid-rabbanan. Meaning there's no mitzvah of being mafish truma samaitros outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now again, by the way, I'm struggling a little bit. I don't really understand what the institution of Trumas and Maestros looked like in Bavel.
meaning there was even like some sort of rabbinic requirement to take off Trumas and Maisos. From our Gemara, the answer seems to be yes. It sounds like there was some form of institution of Trumas and Maisos above all. Ah, but now that we go to Eretz Yisrael, so now, even though they can't eat Karbanos and they can't eat Chazav Yishok, which is really the same thing, but what they're allowed to do, however, and this is Gedola Chazaka, is they can move up in Truma. They can go from Truma to Darabana to eating Truma Daraisa. V'ibai, same the Gemara says, alternatively, I could say the following. And that is Hashanah, maybe Truma Darabana, but Truma Daraisa Lo Echol. So the, that really, they did not eat Truma Daraisa, meaning that the only thing Chazak allowed them to do was status quo, and nothing more than status quo. V'chim askanim etrina liyuchzen, b'truma daraisa, b'truma darabana, lo maskinan. So the Gemara says, and when could we use Truma, the eating of Truma, as a platform to now say that this is a Kohen Miyuchas? That's if we see him eating Truma daraisa, but if we only see him eating Truma darabanan, so that will not elevate him to Yichus. So ve'elamai gedola chazaka. So the Gemara says, no. Let's re-ask the same question. If we're right, that when they came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so the only thing they were able to do is just simply maintain and not do anything more. You ate Truma Derabbanan in Bavel? That's all you could do here in Eretz Yisrael. And I know, I'd do better if I explained what is Truma Derabbanan, what is Truma Daraisa, right? To Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. I'll skip that point for now. I'll speak more conceptually. So now, all they could do is maintain. And if they were eating Truma Daraisa, good, that would elevate them to Yichus. But over here, they're not. They're only eating Truma Darabanan. It does not elevate them to Yichus. Now we get to re-ask the same question. The Braisa open up with the words, Gedola Chazaka. The Chazaka is a really big deal. Well, what's the big deal? In other words, if all we're saying to them is, whatever you did in Bavel, you get to do here in Eretz Yisrael, that's good, but not exciting. That's not Gedola Chazaka. So the Gemara says, Afagav Dika Lamigza Mishum Truma Daraisa Lo Gazrinan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where the excitement lies, in the fact that easily we could have made an argument that, look, if you're getting comfortable with eating Truma Darabanan, it will lead to eating Truma Daraisa, and so therefore we could make a Gzera. Ah, Gedola Chazaka, we're not going to make a Gzera. Okay, so, right, I admit, by the way, this is going to be a little bit of a tough sell to the Kohanim. Listen, Kohanim, I know you're Kohanim, I know your parents were Kohanim, I know in Bavel you assumed you were a Kohen, but because you don't have any documentation, so here when we get to Eretz Yisrael, so I'll tell you what, you ate Truma Derabanan in Bavel, you're going to get to continue to eat it here in Eretz Yisrael as well. And it's a really big deal. What? What? It's a big deal? Meaning that's a big deal? And basically the sell now is that, yeah, it's a big deal because, look, what we could have said is no Truma whatsoever. Because once you start eating Truma Derabanan, you're going to eat Truma Daraisa, and you simply don't have the credentials, literally. You don't have the credentials to eat Truma Daraisa, and we could have done that. We're not going to slap a Gzera on you. Oh, you like that? It's a big deal, right? Okay, so I understand you're gonna have to sell this a little bit, but...
Two questions.
Yeah.
They were like giving up everything just to work in the Beit HaMikdash, and the compensation was that they're gonna get the meat and they're gonna get the skin.
Right.
Now they're basically they're being denied that, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, wait till tomorrow's daf. They're gonna be denied. What's it called? The truth of the matter is the Levim are gonna get really denied.
Isn't it a mitzvah for a Kohen to eat the korban?
Yeah. So, sure. Right, but in other words, but these Kohanim simply don't have the credentials. In other words, you need to have a certain amount of credentials. And what was lost over the 70 years of being in Golis Bavel is that some of them lost their credentials. What did the Shtar Yichus look like? It's a great question. I'd only be guessing. I don't know. In other words, but it, apparently Ezra was asking for it. In other words, it must have been something that was expected. It was expected paperwork that people held on to. I'm sure went over the family tree. Now I'm guessing. I said I wasn't going to guess, and now I'm guessing. So I'm sure it's some right. So it goes over the family tree of who they were, who their parents were, grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. Right? At that point in time, I'm sure it was easy to have a family tree going all the way back to the Shvatim. It was not a terribly...
It's not a question of parents. It's a question of who the mothers were.
Everything. Mothers, fathers, everything. Okay, let's continue. Okay, Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the bottom, from the top of the Amud. And now, so where are we right now? Same place we were yesterday. Meaning, eating truma may not be a platform for yichus. It may be, but it may not be. And duchening also may not be a platform for yichus. And shtaros, we're not even going to talk about shtaros anymore. We mentioned it yesterday just one time. Okay, that's not going to be a platform for being a kohen legabe yichus. Okay, and just everyone settle in, because this is going to be our daf today. This is going to be the topic within our daf in terms of what will give the kohen status of being a meyuchas.
You can't marry a woman who has a yichus of a bas kohen. But stam a bas kohen, you could say the same thing. How do you know she's a bas kohen?
Right.
Maybe her father is
Okay.
So, fine.
I hear. The basic point right now is that our focus is on what is providing the kohen legabe his yichus, and again, it all falls under the umbrella. I said this in the beginning of today's daf, and I'm just going to keep repeating. It falls under the category of mala also biyuchsin. Look, when it comes to yichus, they took the threshold and they moved it all the way to the top.
When taking the diction, what the rabbi is saying is that they could never give it a bat kohen hasra for like burning her before doing something that she was like.
Right. Right now, the focus is on yichus. It's not on onesh.
But there are implications from all.
Okay. Correct. Agreed. Uvitruma deraisa lawach of aksiv. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. You're telling me, meaning, right, in this suggestion of the Gemara, of how we interpreted the Braisa, so you're telling me that Kohanim would not be eating Truma Eretz Yisrael, meaning the only thing they'd be eating is Truma Derabbanim, but not Truma Deraisa. The Gemara says, come on, we read the Psukim in Ezra, right, just a couple minutes earlier. Like, how are you going to read those Psukim? So the Gemara says, you know, it's going to be challenging, but we'll do it. So v'haksev asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakadashim. So mikodesh hakadashim udolavachol habetshuma deraisa achol. So right, again, just read the psukim in Ezra. The psukim say that once again to Eretz Yisrael, because they couldn't produce their shtar yichus, so Ezra says to them, that's it. You can't eat kodesh kadashim. Now, what that means is that's a reference to carbon. In other words, by anything short of that, they're allowed to eat. Meaning they're allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara says, okay, hachi kamar. So here's how you all interpret the psukim. Lo b'midi dikrei kodesh, dechsiv v'chozar lo yochal b'kodesh, and v'lo b'midi dikrei kodesh, and dechsiv v'vaskon kisi alizar, he b'chumas ha-kodeshim lo sochav. V'amar mar b'mura min ha-kodeshim lo sochav. So the Gemara says is that, well, the pasuk in Ezra, so when it says the word kodesh, so pause. Kodesh is a reference to Truma. The Gemara cites a pasuk that indicates so. And then when it says kodeshim, that's a reference to carbon, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk that would indicate that kodeshim is a reference to carbon. Okay, so it's not out of this world. In other words, it's not, let's not call it the simple pshat in the pasuk, but certainly we could read it into the pasuk that when the Kohanim come back together with Ezra, so they're banned not only from Karbanos, they're banned from Truma as well. What about Chazaka? Chazaka will allow them to eat Truma de Rabbanan. Okay. That is all but an approach in the pasukim in Ezra. It's not the only approach. Remember, there was already a first approach before that. And when they come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be able to eat Truma Daraisa. Okay, so it's an approach. Tashma. Chazaka lekohuna, nesias kapayim bebavo. Okay, so here we have another Braisa. And once again, it's the same topic. But over here, this Braisa. So when it comes to Chazaka lekohuna, so at what point in time can you be a presumed and assumed Kohen? So in Bavel, that's if you duchen. Ve'achilas chala besuria. If you're eating challah in Surya is that Aram Tzova, conquered by David HaMelech, and consistently debated in the Gemara, back and forth, in today's daf. We're not going to be debating the issue itself, but as a ramification of the issue, so we're going to be deliberating whether or not anything in Surya is Daraisa Darabanan. What's the issue? The issue is that when David HaMelech conquered Aram Tzova, when he conquered Surya, so did he do so as a representative of the nation? Was it a national act, or was it kivush yachid? In other words, was it just his own desire to go ahead and to conquer and annex Surya? And kivush yachid, shmei kivush, lav shmei kivush, is that considered like a proper annexation? Is it not? Okay. So over here, we're assuming right now that achilas challah b'Surya, so it is at this point in time. So we're going to be assuming that, So the it is in fact considered a proper annexation of Eretz Yisrael. And finally, chiluk matanos bekrachim, and also the distribution of matanos. Matanos over here reference to Zeror L'chai V'keva. If it's done in the cities, so all these would be good indicators that this man is in fact a Kohen. So ketanim is the siyas kapayim, my lovely yuchsin. So the Gemara says, okay, so what did we just see in the Braisa? It's actually pretty clear. It says that in Bavel, you see a Kohen Duchening, good, elevated. Now the elevation, we assume, presumably means elevation l'gabi yichus, meaning right? The Gemara says not necessarily. Lo l'truma. V'adum yidachilas chalas ketanim. Achilas chalas liyuchsin. After siyas kapayim liyuchsin. So the Gemara says, now, it's very hard. Because in the Braisa, what else did we say? You see him eating challah in Surya. Ah, that's it. He has gained status. What do you think we're talking about over there? Clearly over there we're talking about yichus. Can there be an alternative? The Gemara says, actually, yes, there could be. Lo. Achilas challah gufa l'truma. So, no, challah could be a referendum for eating of truma. What? And kasavar challah b'zman hazeh d'rabban and truma d'raisa. And here's how it could work out. Challah zedin derabbanan. We'll explain better why that is in just a moment. So challah zedin derabbanan, eating truma zedin deraisa. Ah, so it can be that the eating of challah will serve as a litmus test, so that now he's a kohen legabe eating truma. Oh, but let's not get carried away. In other words, that won't be a litmus test for yichus. It'll just be a limit test for truma. So once again, on the pecking order over here, yichus is on the very top of the pyramid. And so maybe the price over here is not going that high. Meaning maybe over here, the only thing that we can generate in terms of he's a Kohen is lagabe eating truma. He's duchening, go ahead, feed him truma. He's eating challah, go ahead, feed him truma. Okay. But yichus, no, we're not there yet. Okay. So tashma. So as far as what will get, will provide the presumed status of being a Kohen. So it will be duchening and distribution of truma samaisas in Eretz Yisrael. Let's just say truma. Uvisuria v'chomakum shashuchi rosh chodesh megin nisias kapayim raya. And in Surya, and anywhere Shluchei Beis Din go to. Okay, so, crash course in Shluchei Beis Din. We know this already. We saw this back in Rosh Hashanah. Let's do a quick review. And that is that we don't know which day of Rosh Chodesh is going to be. It can either be the 30th or 31st day of the month, meaning the previous month can either be 29, 39, or 30 days. Our calendar is fixed. We don't think about it. But back in the day, before the calendars were fixed, circa 3rd century. So any time beforehand, so therefore Rosh Chodesh is going to be whenever Beis Din says it's going to be. Ah, so how does that now get communicated to the Jewish people on large? So there would be text messaging, right? Or you would go to the website, to the Beis Din website, and they would tell you. Okay, but in other words, that would be when Mashiach comes. Now back in the day, so what did they do? So messengers were sent out and on foot, and so therefore wherever they could get to. So they would then be able to observe the correct day of Yontif. Wherever they can't get to, so they don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. Hence, they would have to celebrate 2 days of Yontif. Okay, that we all know. Now, in terms of where they can get to, so it's basically a 15-day travel. Now, that's what Rashi says, and even that, by the way, is lav dafka. It's not really 15 days, because they're not traveling on Shabbos. And certainly for Rosh Chodesh, from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, there are a lot of days in which they can't travel. They can't travel the first day, that's called Rosh Hashanah. They can't travel the 10th day, that's called Yom Kippur. You get the idea. In other words, it's whatever days they could travel short of Yontif and short of Shabbos. Fine. Anyway, and also, by the way, I just found this to be interesting. Rashi in today's daf writes, that in order for a town to be able to receive the shluchim, the town itself needs a Beis Din. So in other words, the Beis Din sends the shluchim, and there needs to be a Beis Din on the receiving end as well. Okay, anyway. So as long as now, well, let's go back to our Gemara. As long as now we are a town proximate enough to Yerushalayim that we're receiving the shluchim Beis Din, so in such a place, So, and they're duchening in such a place, raya. That's going to be a good proof. And why? In other words, what does one have to do with the other? So it's from Rashi, it's a simple pshat in the Gemara, is that because now this is such an established community, it's receiving messages from Yerushalayim and it's got an established Beis Din. So if you see a Kohen duchening over here, look, this is not this is an organized town with a Beis Din. And the Beis Din is responsible for a lot of things, right? And receiving the shluchim from Beis Din, that's a big deal. And also they're going to be responsible for making sure that any Kohen that gets up here in duchening is in fact a Kohen, right? When you are, and I don't mean this in the modern America sense, but when you're out of town, so it's a little bit lawless, meaning, in other words, people do whatever they want to do. I'm saying it a little bit in extreme fashion, but you get the basic idea. So over here, there is a Beis Din. There is organization. Somebody's duchening in such a town, he's a Kohen. Okay, aval. Lo chiluk granos, aval lo chiluk granos. But not chiluk granos. Meaning, oddly enough, the distribution of truma is not going to be a good litmus test to see whether or not he's got status as a Kohen. Ubava kasurya. And now, as far as Bavel's concerned, Bavel's going to be treated like Surya. And Rosh Gamliel, Amir, Af Alexandra Shemitzrayim, Berishona, Mimnesha, Beis Din, Kvuin Sham. Even Alexandra Shemitzrayim is also going to be like that because they do have a Beis Din. And Rashi points that over there. Alexandra Shemitzrayim is not within the zone, meaning the Shluchei Beis Din can't get to Alexandria on those 15 days. But still, but because they have an established Beis Din over there, so again, there's structure, there's organization. A Kohen's getting up there and duchening. In other words, Beis Din checked him out. Okay, now, Ketani Mia. So, once again, here's another brisa for today. And once again, we're litigating the very same point. So, Ketani Mia says, here's Kapayim. My love, Leyuchsin, lo lechala. So, the Gemara says, now, we're saying that that's going to give him status. So, are we going to go all the way to the top of the pyramid? Are we going to Yichus? The Gemara says, no, we're not. So, where are we going to go to? We're going to go all the way to the penultimate top of the mountain, and that is they're going to be able to eat challah. Oh, good. So the Gemara says, what? Right, so good. So, ha-dum yadechila granos. So, ketani, ma-chila granos liyuchsin, af-nisiyas kapayim liyuchsin. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, in the Braisa, we talked about chila granos, meaning being given distribution of kohen, being given distribution of truma. If being distributed truma is now obviously there to elevate you to yichus, so presumably same thing with nesias kapayim as well. Lo chiluk granos gufa lechala. So the Gemara says no, chiluk granos is there to get you to chala. Now chala is above truma, right? It's confusing. Like 5 minutes earlier in the daf, we said just the opposite. We said that the challah, whatever, it's hard. It's just a confusing Gemara today because where's challah relative to truma? So right now where we have it is challah is above truma. So the Gemara says kasev truma bezman zed derabban v'challah daraisa u'maskinim truma derabban l'challah daraisa. So the Gemara says yeah. In other words, there is an opinion out there that challah is above truma. Truma nowadays is derabbanan. Challah nowadays is daraisa. So yeah. So when the Braisa talks about how you see a Kohen getting a distribution of Truma. Now you can elevate him. Elevate him to what? Not to Yichus, but to Challah. Because Challah is above. The Gemara says, and where do we find this structure? That Challah is above Truma. The Gemara says, I'll tell you where we find it. Kiddash kechina, Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua l'Rabban Adam, Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, Ashke chesina l'Rabban b'bei Rav. So I was by the yeshiva, the Yasve v'kamer, Ephilaman damar Truma b'zman azed, Rabban l'Challah d'Araisa. So that Truma nowadays is the Rabbanan, Challah nowadays is Daraisa. How did we get here? Sharei Zayin Shekiv Shev Zayin Shechilku Nizchayva B'Challah V'Nizchayva B'Truma. So because when it comes to Truma, what is Truma a function of? So Truma is going to be a function of, you need first 7 years of conquering, 7 years of division. Only after settlement, then Truma kicks in. So for those first 14 years when we go into Eretz Yisrael, so Truma is not yet in effect. Why? Because Truma is a function of settlement. But you know what was an application for those 14 years? Challah. Challah was an application for those 14 years. What do you see? Challah is not a function of settlement. So now what comes out is that, right, so when we become unsettled, so now we are going to be losing the Truma, but retaining the Challah. And that's a description of Bayis Sheni. Meaning Bayis Sheni, I know we built the second base of Mikdash. Like, what do you mean unsettled? You don't have the majority of the Jewish people settled in Eretz Yisrael for Bayis Sheni. And so therefore, Truma now is on a Din D'Rabbanan. But Chala, which is not a function of settlement, Chala is going to be a Din D'Oraisa. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'amina lu'ana ad-rabba. Good. So that's their position. Now, it happens to be I was there and I engaged. And I said, you know what? I see it opposite. V'amina lu'ana ad-rabba. Afilaman d'amar truma b'smanazah d'oraisa chala d'rabbanan. I think you can argue just the opposite. The time we learned in the Braisa, b'vo'achem al-aretz, b'vo'achem yachom mishin nechnesu, la shnaim v'shoshem meraglim. So when the Torah introduces us to the Parsha of Chala, it says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, this is in Parshas Shlach, the end of Parshas Shlach. That's where the Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of Chala. And it says that when you come in, I might have thought, coming in meaning as we drip into Eretz Yisrael, like the second to the third of the Meraglim, go into Eretz Yisrael, okay, good. Chala is now in force. No. Tamalam Rebbe Voachem. So you have to go in entirely. Only when you go in entirely, then and only then Chala kicks in. V'chiaskinu Ezra. So, and when Ezra comes into Eretz Yisrael, lav kulu saluk. Not everyone went in. So therefore, Chala is going to be a function. This is a counter argument. Chala is going to be a function of the entire Jewish people going in. And what I presume is at least representatives from the entire Jewish people going in, right? We know that when Ezra came in, so it was a fraction of the Jewish people, both in terms of population and also in terms of representation. Meaning, right? How many of the Shatim are actually represented? Not perfectly clear, by the way. If what we need is a majority of population or representation, I'm not sure about that. Regardless, the point is that you had a fraction of the Jewish people coming in, therefore Challah is not going to be enforced, at least on a Daraisa level. But Truma, on the other hand, Truma is not a function of the majority of the people coming in, and so therefore Truma can in fact be enforced. So, where are we? A little, I don't want to say it too dramatically, but we're a little bit all over the place. Okay, I said it dramatically. So and I told you I wasn't going to do it. So we're a little bit all over the place, meaning that right now we are weighing and count and balancing and counterbalancing the requirement the obligation of Chala versus the obligation of Truma. They're both obviously Matnos Kahuna, but they could be operating with different determinants. What exactly is going to make Chala Din D'Oraisa? What's going to make Truma Din D'Oraisa? And the Gemara is teetering on what exactly are the determinants, and therefore what can come out are some funny conclusions, like we see in today's daf. That for Bayis Sheni, it could be that Truma's the Rabbanan, Chala's the Raisa. We could counter argue. We could say that Truma's the Raisa and Chala's the Rabbanan. But once we have that kind of flexibility or that kind of range, then when we see a Braisa and the Braisa says, "Ooh, he received the distribution of Truma, therefore he's going to have now an elevated status." Quite frankly, now there's room to interpret that elevated status is not going to get us to Yichus, but it could just get us up to Chala. Okay? Because the author of the Braisa could be holding that Truma is the Rabbanan and Chala is the Raisa. And again, what comes out from the entire discussion is that we don't have any kind of conclusive proof that when they went back into Eretz Yisrael in Bayis Sheni and they are duchening, they are eating Truma, does that now mean that they're Kohanim Yuchasim? Not necessarily. And it's a funny conclusion, but that's where the entirety of today's daf is really headed towards. That's where it went. Let's do a little bit more for today. Tashma. We're on the very top of Chafei Amud Beis, and continuing. Chazaka Lakuna Nisiyas Kapayim. Okay, so again, these brises now are going to be sounding familiar. They're very similar to one another, but like a little bit of variation between one brice and the next, and we're going to be able to make a different diuk over here. Anyway, so Chazaka Lakuna Nisiyas Kapayim V'Chiluk Granos Ve'edus. So what is going to provide the Chazaka for a Kohen? Meaning, what is going to make him now a presumed Kohen? So, if he dochens, or if he can receive the distribution, or if there's testimony. So the Gemara says, Eidus Chazakahi. So what are you talking about? Testimony and Chazaka? Aren't those two different things? Isn't testimony actual evidence? Meaning Chazaka is because of certain behaviors, therefore we can presume. Eidus is just testimony. I know his father. I know his grandfather. I know his mother. I know his grandmother. Right? Like, we're mixing and matching over here. So the Gemara says, Elav hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, no, it really interpreted in the following manner. Yesis kapaim ki edus. Ma edus liyuchsin af nesis kapaim liyuchsin. So the Gemara says, so what the Pshan the Braisa must mean is the following. You have edus, as we discussed in yesterday's daf. Edus is the best piece of evidence. I have witnesses coming and testifying that I know his parents, I know his grandparents. In other words, this is somebody new that came into town, but once there are two kosher witnesses testifying about him, done. And that gets them all the way to the top. In other words, there now we're at the point of yichus. And maybe the correct way to understand the braisa, well, if edus does that, you know what else does that? Chazaka, meaning I saw him eating truma, I saw him duchening. So isn't that the pshat? Gemara says, no, lo. Edus abba mikol chazaka, ke chazaka. Gemara says, no, I'll give you another way to interpret the braisa. It doesn't mean that the edus over here is testifying about who his parents were, or who his grandparents were. You know what the edus is testifying about? I saw him getting a lien shul. And I saw him get kohen. Yeah. So that's edus on a practice, not edus on the actual yichus itself. So ki ahud also kami de Rabbi Ami. Now there's a reason why I gave that specific example, because that's going to be the Gemara's example. Amalei muchzekani b'zeshu kohen. Amalei mari yisa. I'm telling you, he's a kohen. He says, what did you see? Amalei shekar rishon bebeis hakenesis becheskeshu kohen. I'm sorry. Bebeis hakenesis. I saw him get the first aliyah. Okay, so when you go to shul and you get someone, see someone getting the first aliyah. He's a kohen, right? Now, not necessarily. We all remember the Gemara in Megillah. In other words, you can give the kohen, right? You can go give the kohen to the first aliyah. You can also give a talmid chacham the first aliyah. So the Gemara says, "Becheska shu kohen or becheska shu gadol." So let me ask you a question. Meaning, how do you know he got the first aliyah as a kohen? Maybe it was because he was a tremendous talmid chacham. You'll give him the first aliyah as well, right? Nowadays, the practice is just to give it to the kohen. Okay? But in other words, bizmana Gemara, it was equally acceptable to give it to a talmid chacham. So the Gemara says, no, shekara acharav Levi. So, no, I know it was a kohen. Why? Because they followed a pecking order, meaning I happen to also know the next aliyah was given to a Levi. And as per the Gemara in Gittin, Rashi over here discusses the Gemara in Gittin, right? The Gemara in Gittin really needs a fuller treatment. I'm not going to do it justice right now, but basically the Gemara in Gittin says that once there's no kohen and shul, nisparda chavila, that at that point in time, all bets are off. Now, what exactly that means is open to a couple of interpretations, but the idea is very simple, and that is that when there's a kohen, there's structure. The first aliyah will go to the kohen, second aliyah will go to the levi. So over here, how do I know that the first one was a kohen? Because the second one was a levi. Okay. So ve'alu Rabbi Ami l'kohen apiv. So and Rabbi Ami says good. Okay. So good. So you saw him get the first aliyah, confirmed he's a kohen. Now again, that doesn't necessarily mean for yichus. It just simply means that for most of the privileges of a kohen, there'll be a kohen. How does the comment to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Leimu Chazakani Bezeshu Levi? So someone goes over to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, right? A little bit ironic that the right his by name he was a Levi and testifying about another person that he's a Levi. So Amar Leim Marisa Amar Leim Shekar Shenim Bebeis Hakenesis, and I saw him get the second aliyah. And again, counter argument: Becheskeshu Levi, Becheskeshu Gadol. So how do I know? Meaning maybe he got it because he was a Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara says Shekar Lafan of Kohen. So no, Cohen got the first aliyah, meaning a known Cohen got the first aliyah. So Ve'elu Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Levi al piv. Okay, so and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, good. Okay, that's enough. I got it. And now he's a Levi, and he's going to therefore be able to receive a distribution of Meiser. How does the comment to Reish Lakish Amalei Mechazkan Bezeshu Cohen Amalei Marisa Amalei Shekar Rishon Bebeis Knesses Amalei Reisav Shechilek Alagranos? So he says, I saw him get the first aliyah and shul. So he says, did you see him also receive a distribution? So Amalo Rebbe Lazar v'im ein sham going butla kahuna, and Rebbe Lazar says, wait 1 second. The receiving of a distribution should not become a litmus test. Why? Because let's say we don't have distribution. So, which by the way, that's of course the case now. In other words, nowadays we don't have distribution. Or let's say you're just not living in an agricultural society. And so now what? So now, if you don't have distribution, we have no way of establishing who's a Kohen. So that was what Rebbe Lazar said to Reish Lakish. That in other words, you saw him getting a Leon Shul, that should be enough evidence. And you don't need a distribution to be the litmus test. Now, Zimnan Havias v'kamad Rav Yochanan. Now, on another occasion, so they were in front of Rav Yochanan. Asa ki ha maisel kamei, amar le Reish Lakish reisav shechilak al agoren. So now, somebody was coming forward saying that he was a Kohen, and they asked him, how do you know? Well, he got the first Aliyah, that's great. Did he receive a distribution? This is what Reish Lakish was asking in front of Rav Yochanan, and it happened to have been the same question that Reish Lakish asked in front of Rav Elazar. Now, we already know what Rav Elazar said. Well, if you're using distribution and we no longer have agriculture, so then what, we're not going to have Kohanim anymore? So, Amalei Rav Yochanan, im ein sham goren batla kahuna, and here's Rav Yochanan making the same statement. Oh. So, in other words, Rav Elazar plagiarized. Okay, I hate saying it, but that's what happened. Meaning Rav Elazar heard it from Rav Yochanan, and now he's copying over what Rav Yochanan said. The problem is that Rav Elazar didn't give proper credit. He didn't say b'shem omro. Yeah. So now, right? So how do right? So how do chazil the Rav Elazar bishus? So they turned to Rav Elazar and they gave him a look. In other words, that's not right. In other words, when you're quoting Rav Yochanan, you have to say b'shem omro. You have to say Rav Yochanan. Okay, Amar Shamat Mila de Bar Nafcha v'lo Amar La Mishmei. You heard something from Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was always described as Bar Nafcha. Different explanations in terms of why he was called Bar Nafcha. But anyway, you heard from Rav Yochanan and you didn't say it in his name. That's not right. In other words, you should say it in his name. Okay, so fine. Anyway, what comes out over here is another seemingly good proof in terms of what we're going to be doing in terms of elevating the Kohen to the status of being a Kohen. He got the first Aliyah. Good, that's elevation. All the way to the point of Yichus? Maybe. Maybe. Right? That's basically been the common theme of today's daf, meaning unclear from the Braisa whether we're ready to go that far. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Rebbe Chia, that's where we're going to start with tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap. And it happens to be a pretty easy daf to recap. The Gemara really only covered one topic over the course of today. And that is that what is going to get to the Kohen to the status of being a Miyuchas, a Kohen Miyuchas. So that now when marrying, and you know now that you're marrying a Kohen, meaning, and I know it's strange, by the way, I said a comment to this in the beginning of today's daf, but I'll get the comment now in our summary section as well. And that is that you could see him eating truma, you can see him getting the first aliyah, right? You could see him duchening. And these are things that normally would establish a Kohen to be a Kohen, but again, mala asu b'yuchsen. Then when it comes to Yichus, so they were even more particular. So can you marry him as a Kohen miyuchas? So the answer is not necessarily, even if you're seeing him engaging in Kohen-type behaviors. So over the course of today's daf, we went to Braisa after Braisa after Braisa, right? I didn't keep score. I didn't count how many Braises we went through today, but a lot. We went through a lot of different Braises, which seems to indicate that we do seem to have good evidence that you see him practicing a certain manner. You don't have Aegis, you don't have Aedim, but in other words, it's accepted in our town that he's duchening, that he's eating truma. So now we can elevate his status, right? And is this elevation all the way to the top of the pyramid of Yichus? Not necessarily. Meaning we have yet to have proven in the course of today's daf, even after going through all those braisas, in terms of whether or not his Yichus will go all the way to the status of being a Kohen Miyuchas, for the purposes of eating truma, even eating challah. And again, we teeter back and forth today in terms of what's higher than what. Is truma higher than challah or vice versa? But in terms of those, so then, yes, he's going to be a presumed Kohen. But for the purpose of Yichus, not necessarily.